Hey everybody, welcome to the Command Cinema Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Train to Busan. I am one of your hosts, Malachi.
I'm going to go next. I'm Drew.
And I'm Cody.
What is so funny? What are you laughing at already about?
Me or Cody?
Cody.
I just know, I was just thinking the way I would have said it and I would have butchered the title so badly.
Well, at least you're honest. I respect the honesty.
I'm so glad you did so well. Wow. Okay, we can.
Cody, what did you think the title was called? Didn't you say it was like bussin' or something?
Well, that's bussin', bro. That's bussin'.
Bussin'. Trained on bussin'.
I hate this. God, well, how are you guys? Cody, it's good to have you back since you were gone
last episode. Thank you. Cue the applause. It's glad to be back. I'm glad to be back.
It is glad to be back.
It's glad to be back. No English proper here.
What about you, Drew? What have you been up to?
Everything is awful. Everything's canceled. I've been at home a lot, watching a lot of movies, reading. God. Episode one of Coronavirus Cinema.
Please. Yeah. Is that the new C?
Yeah.
No, that's just taking away my name.
Replace Cody's Coronavirus.
God. Cody, have you seen any new movies recently? You still haven't seen Parasite. So we recently found out.
No,
have you
seen anything else? Okay, so no, my girlfriend introduced me to the world of, which are gonna like say, I know I haven't seen this movie yet, but it's Clue. I saw Clue for the first time last
year. How was Clue?
I was very enjoyable. I, like, who did it kind of thing, you know?
That's the point of Clue.
right. Like I said, I had never seen anything about it. I only played the board game, so, you know, I assume, but, and I still haven't seen Knives Out, so.
Don't get your hopes up. It's not that good. I didn't like it that much.
I'll set my standards really low. Like when I met you guys.
Dang. Nah, you just got back and you're throwing out
that? Shots have been fired. Yes, they have.
Thin ice, Cody.
Mm.
Thin ice.
I'm sorry.
What about you, Drew? Have you seen anything?
Since
you've had so much free time.
Yeah, no, I saw, let's see, let me hop on Letterboxd. I saw John Mulaney in the Sack Lunch Bunch. I saw Toy Story 4. I saw The Shawshank Redemption for the first time.
I've never seen it, so I can't say anything.
What?
I saw Tootsie. I saw Train to Busan. I watched Playtime last night.
Tati?
Yeah, Tati.
I love Tati. I mean... Man, uncle, was it uncle? Just uncle?
I'm on uncle.
Okay, so I could literally just watch. If I could just put them on TV and do whatever I need to do, and just any time, it's like a photograph, which that's famous for.
Yeah, have you seen Playtime?
Yeah, I've seen Playtime. I've seen Uncle. I've seen a lot of them. A few films. All the collection on Criterion. I've seen for the most part.
I hope one day we get a Criterion selection. Like, or collection sponsor, since you guys talk about it so heavily.
No, they would never sponsor us.
And then I watched two Tarkovsky movies last night. Those were interesting.
Gotcha.
So I've watched, like, everything under the sun. Malachi, what are you seeing?
Recently I've seen A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I saw Call Me by Your Name. I saw Paprika that I watched over Discord with our host from last episode, Josh. We watched that.
How was that?
Really strange. I haven't seen too many like anime based movies other than like your standard Studio Ghibli films, but that one was crazy. Like, it's very, I don't know how to put it. Like, the tagline for the movie is, "This is your brain on anime," and it's very wild. Like, it's kind of all over the place and it's very chaotic in spots. And there's this really large character who's there genuinely just for comedic relief, but he is so funny. And they make such an effort to make sure you know that he is fat that you like can't get away from the thought about how funny it is.
I've heard Paprika is really good, and then I've heard really good things about Perfect Blue. I think they're by the same director.
Yeah, they are. Josh said the Perfect Blue is like really interesting. He said it's more interesting than Paprika, so... I'm hoping one day I'll probably sit down and put that on my watch list.
We're going to have an anime episode.
What an interesting time. We got to watch Your Name if that.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that too. But today we are going to talk about Train to Busan.
To Busan.
Busan.
Train to Busan. Do y'all want to give the rundown to
yeah.
the film?
Yeah, I'm gonna try my best to not butcher any of these names, so please bear with me. But Train to Busan, it follows who we're gonna call Mr. Wu, who is a divorced fund manager whose daughter wants to travel to Busan for her birthday to see her mother. While on the train, we're introduced to a whole bunch of other weird characters: a working class man, his pregnant wife, two elderly sisters, a homeless man, like a group of baseball players, and a cheerleader, and a bunch of other wacky people. Soon after, an infected woman boards the train, and the crew have to work together to find out how to get to the quarantine zone. Reading that word out of the context of coronavirus feels so weird.
I know.
But at the quarantine zone in Busan, while surviving the zombie outbreak in the process.
Yeah, so it's directed by, we were just talking about like anime films, and it's directed by I don't know how to pronounce this.
Mm-hmm.
Yong Yang Ho, who has a background in animated film, and I don't think any of us have seen these movies. It's The King of Pigs and The Fake are two of his big ones. Yeah, Train to Busan was like a huge hit back in 2016. It opened with, it grossed $90 million on an $8 million budget.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. It has a sequel coming out pretty soon. It was a big deal when it came out.
Something interesting that I read about this movie is that it was like the first movie to ever break like 10 million theater goers. Like it was like the first movie the first Korean film of 2016 to break that many theater goers, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, so Train to Busan is a zombie movie that was not made evident. And it's kind of a thriller action. I would say it's kind of a B movie too.
Dang, you're sticking to that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Okay, we'll just start off with like what would y'all classify this as?
I mean, it's your pretty standard like zombie affair movie. Like it's got, since there's like so many different types of zombies, I was kind of refreshed to know that these are like crazy, contorting their bodies in every which way. Not crazy, stupid, fast zombies, but like pretty normal running people. Like it actually showed the process of them turning into zombies, and they didn't like get superhuman strength. So I would say it's a pretty like normal zombie film that I think just happens to be revolving around a train. Snowpiercer, yeah. With zombies, maybe?
I was just going to say, let me say kudos to the extras that play the zombies. Because, you know, they took one for the team, I'm assuming, several times when they, like, jumped off objects. I mean, there was one scene when they were jumping off the train, and one did a tuck, and there's no way they landed that. So I know as soon as that, someone got hurt. Like, there's no way. So kudos to the extras of the zombies, because I know they went above and beyond to make it somewhat realistic, you know, as far as it possibly can.
There's that one scene near the end of the movie where like they're like all crawling onto the train, and he steps on the hand of one of them.
Ooh.
He lets go and he like smacks into what looks like the camera. It's a very odd moment that I noticed. It's like there was like a big plexiglass wall in front of the camera, and he just like bumped into it as he was like rolling on the ground. That was really funny.
Yeah, it's kind of goofy. I'm sure people can guess we're not going to get into like the specifics, like the cinematography and sound this week. It's kind of just like a goofy zombie movie. So we're gonna kind of treat it like that. So what do y'all think of like the effects and the gore?
Like I think like the bites are really well done. Mm-hmm. The like blood squirting out of people's necks, I thought was a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
But I feel like it kind of has to be, because I mean, they're trying to sell like an experience of a movie. So, I mean, it's fair. I can't be mad at that. The scene on the train where they're like wrapping their arms in like duct tape and whatnot, I thought was really strange. I was like, why are they doing that?
It's clever, though.
We were watching with a couple other people, and my girlfriend was like, why don't they put it on like their necks or something, which is what the zombies usually go for? Like, it's all in the arms.
They're going to play street hockey afterwards. That was all.
That could be it. That could very well be it.
Which made it even more weird, because everybody else, they like bit them on the neck, but like a few of the main characters, they were bit on the hand. Who I like to call Asian or Korean Joey Fatone. He was bit on the hand.
Joey Fatone.
Do you know what Joey Fatone looks like?
Yeah. Are you talking about the working class guy?
He looks just like Korean Joey Fatone.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay. I get that a little bit.
One thing I had a problem as far as like the trans. I know we were mentioning the transformation. I know they, depending on where they were bitten, depending on how fast the transformation happened, that the ending, of course, which I won't get into, or certain people that were main characters, I felt like got a few more minutes there because of who they were versus like
blood armor to them. Thick.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That might be looking way too deep into it, but I just felt like there was some like strains in some of the scenes just because they had to get a certain point across, which, like I said, that's just a
I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because now the more I think about it, I keep thinking back to, like, the more times you evade death is, like, how long it seemed like you got to contain your humanity before you turned into a zombie.
Right.
Like, Joey Fatone, he had, like...
We'll put a little spoiler warning. we're probably about to get into some spoilery stuff.
I'll try to keep it light, but he got bit, and he had, like, a good 35 seconds of him, like, standing there holding one of the zombies up. And he was, like, still fairly there. And then our main character, Mr. Wu, he had, like, a good, like, minute and a half of him just standing there smiling creepily with his eyes rolling back in his head.
Oh, God.
No, okay, so the one that bothered me was, like, the CEO guy, the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
He must have taken, like, forever to turn, because, like, I don't remember him getting bit at all. If he did, he was still fine when the train was, like, going at the end there. Like, mm-hmm. He only turned when all three of them, like, popped up on the
train.
Which
is so annoying.
Like, my thing, that's going back to my point, is, like, how do you justify how much people get time, versus some people are immediately changed, versus some people, okay, I'm realizing what's happening to me, and then, oh, crap, and then now, like, for instance, the ending, the main antagonist, he really pissed me off. His character really, really, they did a great job of me, like, making me hate him. Honestly, there were several scenes where, which of course that was a point where he was selfish. That makes me want to get to the next point as far as with something like this. And I know we're into this type of movie because of the current situation in the world right now with the coronavirus, but it just goes to show you, no matter how much money you have, no matter what you obtain, when it comes down to it, in certain situations, you know, humanity really plays a part. And, you know, no amount of wealth can protect you from that certain thing. And it may be a metaphor, you know what I'm saying? Like, even the main character was wealthy of some sort. And, you know, he had to defend for himself in a way, that for survival, for his daughter, in a non-selfish way. And I thought, and of course, that's I believe the main point of the movie. And then, of course, the main antagonist, I guess you would say the main antagonist, would be the wealthy gentleman who made selfish acts throughout the whole film, which just really got under my skin, which I'm sure that was the entire point. I mean, even to the very end, he was like, oh, God, please take me home. And then it's like, there was not once where I sympathized him. You know, there's some antagonists where you can, like, somewhat sympathize with why they feel this way. But there was not once that... Not once where I was like, okay, I kind of see where you're coming from, buddy, but, you know.
I think they did that because, like, I feel like our main character, he's, like, kind of in the middle. Like, he's, like, a workaholic. And I felt like if he had continued down the path, not taking care, like, more care of his daughter, he would have eventually ended up at the coup and, like, the crazy antagonist who was, like, all about himself.
Right, made the same actions he did, right.
Yeah, and I feel like it showed, like, a really good juxtaposition of, like, being working class, like, caring about your family more as opposed to caring more about your business.
For sure.
And I feel like you slowly see, like, his, like, personality flip from, like, being all about himself and his kid to being, like, trying to save as many people as possible.
What do we think of the dialogue in this movie?
God, you already know what I want to say.
Like, so I'll go ahead and preface this. If this was not already made known, this is a Korean movie, so we all watched it with subtitles. Malachi sounds like he has something to say on this, so I will hand this.
The thing that's funny to me about the subtitles on this movie, I don't know if they're, I don't know how they were like transcribed, like if somebody just listened, like a first language Korean speaker translating it to English. Mm. But a lot of the lines, or I won't say a lot, but there's like definitely a few lines in the movie where there's like heavy use of double negatives in it, and I thought it was really funny. And I always just like, I would notice like the way they would interact with people. Like a lot of these people that are on this train, they're all like business people. Like they're all like really high up in companies. Like our main character, he's like a fund manager, so obviously he's like somewhat, he's not one of the lemmings, as he says in the movie. Mm. And I just thought it was weird. I would like to imagine that these Korean people are just walking around speaking in double negatives, like southern drawl, but I just somehow don't think that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's not like a super well written movie. It's pretty silly.
It's like somebody from Mississippi State translated it. That's all I have.
Come
to
on
say.
Now. Oh, come on.
For those who don't know, Drew is a current student at Mississippi State.
So not anymore. That school's not going to open up again.
Former Mississippi State student.
What's your bus system called at Starkville?
Starkville bus. No, it's called the smart system.
God, that's painful. The irony in that.
Damn. Are we doing this? I can't. I'm dragging whole mess a little bit. My sister goes there. I know what y'all do.
I'll leave you alone. But the dialogue in the movie is very silly. The homeless man, he speaks in like really short, like very bite-sized, not even like sentences. They find him like hiding in a bathroom. I don't know how he got on the train. And he's like saying, everybody dead, everybody dead. And then like later, he's like running behind a couple of the other main characters. And they like almost leave him. And he's like, me too, please. Please. And I just thought it was like really strange. Like, he doesn't ever really say anything, but he does make up for it with like his one great action, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of sacrifices. Just like,
oh yes, Cody, there is a lot of sacrifice here. I'll let you continue. Go ahead. No.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But, no, you're cool.
Essentially, this film is just people realizing their true potential, or not true potential, but I would say like making ultimate sacrifice, something bigger than themselves, something they may not have done before they've encountered all these zombies, you know, as far as being around these people and building relationships and making sacrifices. For instance, the husband, I don't know his name, but he played the heavy, I guess you would say, throughout the whole film. He carried most of the individuals through the trains. Or the each individual car. I don't know. That was I thought it was kind of corny, but tastefully done in a sense. When they had that argument before, the husband and wife, about the name. You know, it's like a little tidbit, but which didn't seem necessary at the time. But then when it came down to it, when all the zombies were trying to get to the door, and he was holding them back as best as possible while they're trying to get to the other car. On the train. First and foremost, kudos to that man for having that much strength. You know, I know that was like he had superhero strength. I don't know.
I thought he was just fat until he took off his jacket. I was.
Yeah, I know. It's like this dude's
Bill.
I know. I think that's what they wanted you to think. Like he was just a regular dad. You know, a dad bod. And then like when they started wrapping their like arms together, like okay, it's Hulk time, smash time. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much it. But their sacrifices throughout the whole film was. You know, it was really touching in some parts. And corny sometimes, but again, touching when needed.
I'm glad you said corny, because...
Yeah, we can move into that next. This movie's corny as all get out. it is a really fun movie. Like, hold on one second. Let me put this cat out.
Lucas is meowing his head off.
I think y'all are being very critical. I mean, I'm taking it for what it is, right? So it's already foreign to me, of course, because of the language. And then also, I'm not really big into apocalypse movies, except for I'm a fan of the ones that, you know, I wouldn't go out to watch a film like this, if that makes sense. Like, if I saw this in a preview, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's something I want to see. But I'm glad I did, don't get me wrong. Like, World War Z... even the thing, movies like that, thrillers like that, I enjoy when they're pleasantly surprised. So I guess that's why I enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting or comparing it to anything else either. I was just going in it blind from the recommendation of Malachi. And then I mean, there are some CGI points where I'm like, oh, that's, and then some dialogue, of course. But throughout the film, I liked it. Even all of its corniness, I enjoyed it.
I really think the only reason we're like really ragging on it is just because it's like another zombie movie.
For sure, for sure.
And it's a good zombie movie. Like, it's definitely better than like a lot of the ones. Like, I don't really care for zombies. Like, they're not my like apocalyptic end of choice. The Last of Us is literally like the only piece of like zombie media that I can like vouch highly for.
Amen.
So just like watching this movie, I'm just like kind of running through in my head. I'm like, okay, this is like fairly apparent. Like, things kind of get out of hand really quickly. I feel like there's like heavy plot points in this movie that almost have nothing to do with the zombies. The zombies are just kind of there to carry the story along.
Okay. So what would you say is like a plot point that is not like affected by zombies?
But, like, I definitely don't think, like, there's, like, a strong level of, like, classism in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And, I mean, that's not necessarily, like, carried on by the zombies. Like, it's just kind of carried on by the way, like, whenever they finally make it to the train car with all of the rest of the people, they immediately, like, ostracize them. And it's, mm-hmm. I mean, partly because they don't know if they're infected, but they've also been trying to, like, hold the car back this whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, they were, like, having everybody, like, wait, and it was causing problems for the COO of that whatever company, Stallion Express, I think. I just feel like it was, like, I don't know, like, all that part of the movie, I don't feel like is necessarily carried on by the zombies. It's carried on by, like, the interactions between the people. Like, the coup is, like, constantly disrespecting the conductor of the train, and he's very, like, it's very apparent in the movie that he is like very self-entitled because of his company and his worth. And I don't feel like any of that's carried on by the zombies. It's just kind of like, I feel like it's just like a liner note.
See, I feel like the zombies, that like, they definitely do carry the movie, and the only zombie related is like the opening 15 minutes about like the sad dad who like buys his daughter another Wii, and then she just like wants to go to Busan, and that's what kicks everything off. But other than that, I feel like the zombies, they're good for progressing the plot.
I'm gonna have to disagree on Malachi's point as far as like carrying the film. Of course, I mean, I guess it's a metaphor. I'm sure there's a lot of metaphors in this film, and it's as corny as it is. I guess I perceive them as metaphors. There's some of the obvious ones, for instance, where he's washing his hands after he found out the news that his company was involved, or the reason, which that wasn't very well explained either, which is a plot hole, but I won't go into that. But where he's washing his hands, literally, like, there's blood on his hands, you know. And so he's like, he starts to cry, and he feels guilty, of course. It is a zombie movie, so to say that the zombies are just a filler would be ridiculous, because they're biggest character than anyone else. You know, they bring everyone together or tear everyone apart in a sense, so they are the glue of sorts throughout the film. They are the biggest character for me, besides the main character and his daughter. So to that sense, they're more than just, oh, we're scaring you, and we're, you know, they make people realize they're either who they are, what their actions are going to be. More than just like, oh, we're scaring you, get away, right? It's like, we're checking on your morality here.
Malachi, what you think?
I mean, that's fair. There's just like spots in the movie where I'm just like, eh. I was like, they're kind of like overdoing. Like, I didn't really understand, like, in the very beginning, the guy, he hits the deer, and then the deer stands back up. Like, what did that have anything to do with the movie?
He's infected. It's kind of like to be the first. Yeah, the guy had nothing to do with it in the beginning, and then, like, we never saw him again. It could just literally just hit a deer and, like, gone on with his life. But he had to stop and then get questioned, which I guess helped progress the movie. But sorry, go ahead.
And you really don't see another animal in the whole movie after that. I just, it was strange. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just, like, a little bitty, like, parts in the movie that almost make it seem like the zombies aren't as important. But I mean, I do see what you mean. I mean, it is a zombie film, but there's definitely like other like elements in it that I think are also really important that aren't like revolving around the zombies.
I'm not wrapping things up yet, but like, what did y'all think?
I think it's fine. I gave it a 4. Like, I think it's a really interesting movie to watch. Like, I think it's good. It even with all its like little silly moments, like I think it's still a good movie. Like, I think it's one of those things that you like experience. We keep throwing that word around on like each movie that we watch, but I feel like a lot of these movies, they mean a lot to a lot of different people. So I feel like it's important to understand like why they're so well received. And I also really think that it's important that we continue to watch movies that are in different languages, because I feel like it only like broadens our understanding of like the film medium at large, because I feel like so many movies that are great and that are so like widely received, but you never really hear about them because they're in a different language. So I still think a 4 is like a solid number for this, even with all the caveats.
Yeah, like it is a really fun movie, and it's good to watch with the crowd. Again, it is very like corny, and it kind of gives off that vibe of a sort of like low budget type B movie. But it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's kind of goofy, but if you go into it with a certain mindset, like, it is really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. I also gave it a 4. I think I'm going to stick with that.
I have not yet rated it. So I guess I'll just do it now. I'm gonna match you guys and go with 4. I don't know. 4 only because I think, and it happens every time, I never fail. And maybe it's just because my preconceived ideas of movies, when I go into them, it ruins it for me. But since I had none going into this one, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And even the manner of watching it on my tablet or my iPad, so, which I rarely like to do. I like to enjoy a film, at least on television. But I think I would have enjoyed it more if I had seen it in theaters. You know, had this surround sound and all of that. But as far as the storyline, I didn't think it was completely cringy enough where I'm like, oh god, I can't justify this. You know, other than the whole ending with the father, and after he smiled, it was just, maybe it was a bit too long. Maybe if it was just like a snippet of him smiling and then just like falling, maybe. But other than that, and a few CGI things that were a bit off, and then, you know, dialogue like we mentioned earlier, I thoroughly enjoyed the film from start to finish. Yeah, don't look too much into it. If you're looking for a good plot, I guess, as far as involving with the zombies and the characters, and you may be disappointed there.
For sure. It is highly recommended. If you like Parasite, if you're a big fan of the son from Parasite, he is the baseball player in this movie. So if,
is he really?
Yeah, that's him.
Dang, I didn't know that.
I knew he looked familiar, and I was like, that's gotta be him. And then I like went through and clicked around on some names, and I found it, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, it makes me even more happy to watch this movie because I'm a big fan of him.
He's like the poor son, right?
Yes, he is.
That reminds me, Malachi. Okay, now for those who don't know, we did a poll on our Instagram, which you can follow. It's CMD Cinema, correct?
Yes.
Correct. Okay, so we did a poll on our story and then our page as well. Excuse me, on our page, and we each selected a movie that we were gonna use for this current situation with the whole coronavirus. And I selected a thing. Of course, Malachi selected this movie, and then what did you pick, Drew?
Contagion.
Okay, yeah. So, and then it was selected by the audience or our viewer, or excuse me, followers. I'm thoroughly pleased. I mean, I was disappointed that we didn't choose the thing. But I was happily surprised by watching.
Yeah, definitely. Good pick, Malachi. I had heard about this forever and had no idea what it was. I did not even know it was a zombie movie for like probably until last week. But I'm glad we got into it. It was a fun watch. Definitely worth it.
It would have never made the podcast, should I mention. I personally don't think. Maybe eventually, if we had, unless for the coronavirus. So,
God, shout out to my boy Hunter Galloway. It was his idea. I was like, I've never heard how he ended up on Train to Busan.
So. Wait, time out. So you hadn't watched it before?
Of course not. No.
Oh wow. So it was just like blind, you know, shot in the dark there.
I remember Hunter telling me, he was like, oh, he was like, it's a zombie movie, and it's like a virus outbreak. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then whenever we had the idea of a virus episode, I just like went through a couple of movies on my watch list on Letterboxd. And I think like one of the very first words for Train to Busan is like virus or viral. And I was like, that's close enough for me. I was like, I haven't seen that. It's got a good rating. I was like, I'm cool with watching that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure, for sure. I almost picked World War Z, which I don't think that would have won either way. But, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about World War Z, but I was pleasantly surprised by watching it. And it reached the mainstream as far as level cinema, or cinema that it is, because it has Brad Pitt, of course. But it is a good story. I thoroughly liked it, and I really enjoyed the cinematography and the actual CGI as well, like throughout the whole entire film.
Yeah, I really like World War Z. I haven't seen it since it was out in theaters. Mm. I remember liking it a lot.
For sure. Malachi, have you ever seen it?
I have not, no.
Oh, is it on Netflix?
It's pretty good. You should watch it.
It's a cool thrill. It, of course, you can only go so far with the whole zombie genre, but it does put a human side to it as far as the zombies. You know, they're not just like, once they're contagious, that's it for them. Kind of.
Oh, you mean Warm Bodies? Yeah, Warm Bodies is great.
What?
Get out of here.
So on next. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Have you ever seen Warm Bodies, Cody?
No, I'm not. I don't know what you're referring to.
I saw the movie in theaters. That movie is ass.
Warm Bodies is pretty much, it's a Romeo and Juliet love story, but Romeo's a zombie.
It sounds terrible.
Dude, it's so bad, but it's another zombie movie that I like remember off the top of my head, but it's very strange.
It is not good at all.
Yeah, but Romeo, he has more of like, I think he's just in the movie, but he has like a more like human side to him. Like he's less of a zombie and more of a human. He just happens to be dead.
Mm.
But I want to say highly recommend, but I would just say watch it if it sounds interesting to you. It's just one of those movies that, actually, I have to add that to my Letterboxd list because I don't think I have it added. But yes, Warm Bodies for sure.
I'm not going to promise you I'm going to watch it, but I'll keep it in the back of my head.
Please watch Parasite is what you need to do.
No, oh my God. I agree 100%. I cannot wait any longer.
Next episode, we're going to spoil Parasite if you don't watch it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. So that makes me... So what would you guys want to do to select... I'm sorry. Are we done with this? Are we think we've nipped this in the bud as far as...
Let's... We gave it our ratings. I think we wrapped everything up. Is there any like last minute things y'all want to say about Train to Busan?
Shout out to the grandma for eating the rib. Shout out to the grandma for letting her sister back into the train and letting them wreak havoc on, well, we hope that they wreaked havoc on the COO and the rest of those snot-nosed rich Korean people.
Right. Oh, yeah. But all honesty, if that's the way the CEO would have gone out, I'm like, that's not cool. Like, that's... Is it bad that part of me was like, when he's like, it's clear, you can go out, and then he pushed him, it's like, part of me was like, damn, that was a dick move, but also, like, you gotta do what you gotta do to survive, so I mean...
No.
That man really died because he rolled his ankle on a railroad track.
I know.
All that, him literally throwing, like, people at the zombies to and stay alive.
Yeah, and then...
And he couldn't run and step over a railroad track.
But shout out to the conductor, right? He's like, I'm gonna risk my life knowing I can get out here just fine. And then I'm gonna come out here, get off the train.
Why didn't they go with him? That didn't make any sense. They're like, oh, we gotta wait. We gotta wait for him to, like, find one first, as opposed, you know, there being like a crowd of seven people all walking at least a little bit more confidently. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go by myself.
But he said there's a train over, and so he ran to it, and then it wasn't available because there was a zombie. And then he kept on going to more trains, and he finally found one. And I guess he assumed, well, if they're going to get off, they're going to hear this train going. So, you know, I guess that's what he assumed. I don't think it was a selfish motive. I think it was more or less, like, I have just survived too, so we're all in trouble. That's why I took it. He could have had selfish intents, but then he came back and saved the COO, so I guess he wasn't that bad of a guy.
Train to Busan.
Train to Busan. Okay movie.
Decent movie. And that wraps up this episode.
Episode 5.
Episode V. We did it. We made it this far.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Return of the Jedi next. We should do that for episode 6. Just talk about Return of the Jedi. That'd be fun.
No.
I've seen all of them, but I never remember them by like their title.
Episode 9 is about to come out on digital, and I'm excited.
I haven't seen episode 9.
Oh wait, you're not missing much. Be honest. It's a cluster. But no, if you want somewhat of closure, which if you're not seeking that, I wouldn't advise watching it at all.
I don't know. Like episode 8 had enough closure.
What?
I'm good after 8. I really didn't like 8, and 8 kind of like just destroyed my faith in Star Wars. So and
episode 7 didn't.
No, I like 7. 7's fun.
What? But 8 is.
What are these sounds?
Whoa. Yeah, no, 8 is bad. 7 is watchable and kind of fun. I haven't seen it since it came out, but I watched it like 3 times in theater.
So how do you guys suggest we pick the next movie we critique?
I don't know.
Do you want to have another guest?
That'd be great.
We can do a guest.
You want to do Bobby or Destiny?
Bobby would probably be the best for that stupid. No, no offense, Destiny, if you're listening to this.
All right, guys, so that was Train to Busan. It was episode 5. We're gonna figure out exactly what we're gonna do with the next episode, but until then, we'll catch you guys later.
Yep. You gotta cut that out.
No, I'm keeping it in. All right, CMD signing off. See you guys.
Peace.
She agrees.
Can I open up the episode with that?
Please. No. Do like a little like pre-clip. It was like, please don't take offense to this stuff.
That's probably the only place you'll hear it.
Are we going to do a GF episode?
No.
Malachi, you got to get one too. We have six people on the podcast.
I feel like it would be very interesting.
I don't think it would be fun, and I feel like one of them would end up mad by the end of the episode.
Oh, definitely my girlfriend, for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely probably Bobby, too.
Wait, why?
I don't know.
I feel like Bobby would get on the podcast and be like if you guys were watching Jojo Rabbit, she's like, I would die for Yorkie.
Jojo Rabbit sucked.
Let's not open
that. What? Sucked.
Oh, we need to, like, officially close up the episode. I'm going to edit all the shit out.